When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts on the mind of a cartoonist. And I'm slowly but surely getting back on my feet to make some comics again after all of the craziness of the last 6 months. Kids read comics aside, lots of other teaching projects. I'm just about to enter another really hectic month ahead of me. We're going to be teaching, three classes a week plus every weekend, doing like two classes every weekend. Got a big trip coming up, big road trip coming up in the second week of July. So, yeah, I had like essentially like a week and a half of kind of downtime after the big Kids Read Comics celebration, and then it's right back into my summer schedule of teaching. And then I think I get like another week off, and then it's back to my autumn schedule of teaching with ongoing classes. So, it's a good problem to have, right? It means I got lots of work. I'm not going to be scrounging and panicking for money as much as I have in the last couple of years, but it also means that time management becomes an increasingly more important part of my career. And that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I'm actually going to talk about comic stuff today instead of talking about building events and managing my teaching career. Actually, I do have some plans as an aside to do something else to take some of my teaching stuff, like the teaching talk, out of Thunder Punch Daily and move it to its own thing so that it's a little bit more compartmentalized. So I'm not that anybody's been complaining, but just so I don't, you know, clog up the feed of what's supposed to be a comics podcast with talking about teaching comics too much. Let's talk about actually making comics, shall we? More on that later. But anyway, I had an experience in my classroom. I'm not going to talk about teaching, though, where I was talking with my students about something that I thought was a really good reminder to us. And the language that got developed in that discussion with my students wound up setting off a light bulb above my head about elaborating on this idea of the analytic eye. It's a concept we talk a lot about on Art and Story in the past. And it's something you've no doubt heard me say on the show. And also, if you've seen any of the videos of my classroom experiences, I use this language a lot in my classrooms, is that anytime you're reading something, you're reading a book or a comic or watching a movie or playing a video game or watching a cartoon or any kind of media experience, the moment you go, ooh, or or ah, something I like to do is stop myself at that moment and ask myself why I reacted that way. It tends to make for a clumsy viewing or reading experience. I think it works better with books and comics, by the way, because you're so in control of the pacing of the reading experience. Whereas if you're in the middle of a movie theater and you go, ah, oh, why did I do that? You can wind up missing some stuff. But why do this? You know, as we said before a bunch of times, it gives you more arsenal in your bag of tricks for building your own stories. By asking yourself why or what did the creator do in this situation to make you feel delighted or terrified or disgusted, and picking it apart and analyzing it, you have one more piece that you can pull out and abstract and modify for your own use. So it's a good thing to do, I personally think, to build your skill set as a storyteller. And plus, it makes your downtime, your viewing experience, also research, right? Watching cartoons, for me, can often be research. Case in point, I was watching on Netflix, the first season of the Power Rangers TV show just got put there for streaming. And I was very excited because, you know, I used to watch the show when I was in my early 20s, when it was aimed at 8-year-olds. Yeah, I was watching it too. I used to watch it every afternoon before I went to work. I used to work a second shift at the newspaper with Mark, and we used to watch it before we'd head off. But anyway, I'm watching the first season, and I was really taken aback by, in one of the early episodes, Jason, the Red Ranger, is teaching a karate class. And one of the bully characters, there's these two guys in the show, Bulk and Skull. And they start out in the early seasons as being like kind of like kind of bad guys, but they're not really bad. They're just like, they're like bumbling bullies, right? They try to be mean and tough and nasty, and they always get humiliated and everybody points and laughs at them, right? Showing the kids how not to behave in school. They're not monsters. They're just jerks, right? Well, Bulk, this big guy, pushes his way through the karate class, literally pushes people out of the way. Like, hey, what are you doing? And he goes up to Jason, the teaching who's teaching this karate class, and he says, hey, I want a private lesson because I'm an awesome karate student. I'm better than all these jerks, so you're going to give me a private lesson. Now, Jason turns to him and very earnestly says, well, okay. You know, he doesn't yell at him, doesn't say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you being such a jerk to all these people? He says, well, all right, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll give you a private lesson. And so now we're going to assume, right, that now Jason's going to say, he's going to flip him over his head or something, humiliate him in front of everybody just to teach him a lesson. But Jason doesn't do that. Jason actually earnestly tries to teach him how to do some advanced karate moves. And Bulk winds up falling down, and I forget, he just falls flat on his back or falls into like a trash can or something, but he gets humiliated in front of everybody, and everybody points and laughs, and he's flummoxed, and I'll show you guys. But the thing was, is that Jason was intentionally trying earnestly to teach him how to do the thing, and it was Bulk's own clumsiness and arrogance that humiliated him. And when I was watching this, I was like, wow, it's another example, and granted, this is very, you know, simplistic storytelling or simplified storytelling, but it's another example of like the really, really good guy. The really, really good guy doesn't teach somebody a lesson necessarily. The really, really good guy tries to comply with what the bad guy does and allows evil to destroy itself. It allows evil to humiliate itself because this guy is an obnoxious jerk. He's going to wind up making a fool out of himself anyway. And I just thought, wow, what a nice, elegant way to demonstrate that really, really good guy concept, that kind of He-Man kind of idealized hero concept for kids. Bravo, Saban. Now, what was all that about? The thing is that while I was watching it, I was also simultaneously looking at that what they were doing in that story to make me go, oh, but how do you do that? How do you get to that point where you can actually do that all the time? Now, anybody who's made a handful of stories, you probably are already doing this naturally. Anybody who's made like, you know, two or three comics on their own has spent enough time picking this stuff apart to be able to do this without thinking about it. But if you don't, if you can't, or if you don't realize if you are, if you want to find the words for it, what I did with my students in the classroom is I instituted this thing where the second week of every new course I teach, I ask the students to bring in a favorite comic, a favorite manga, comic book, comic collection of comic strips. It doesn't matter. It could be Tintin, could be Asterix, could be Death Note, could be Garfield. I'm not making a judgment call on that. What I am interested in is hearing why they like it. And I ask them, I try not to ask them any kind of too rigid of a questioning system. I say to them, like, well, what jumps out at you? What is it? If you were to tell me, if you were trying to get me to read this, what would you say? What words would you use to try to convince me why I should read it? And while they talk, I write on the board words that I hear that they're saying that are interesting. So this one kid is talking about Full Metal Alchemist. And she says, well, the characters are really interesting. I like the way they bicker, and I like the way they argue amongst themselves. So I wrote in the board character dynamics, rich characters. She's like, oh, I also really like how the worlds are really, really well designed, and it feels like a real place that I can go into, and there's lots of different locations that the characters move through. And so I wrote Rich World on there. And she said, and I also like how these two boys are actually questing for this thing. They're going across the country looking for this special thing. I forget what exactly it is they're looking for. She had the actual name for what they were looking for, but I haven't read the book, so I don't know what it was called. But I wrote Quest for the Thing, and so on. And by getting her to talk out loud about it, and by having it written down on a board, I could then turn to it and say, well, here's what is jumping out at you about this work. Perhaps these are things that you can now think about incorporating into your own story. That is a very simplified version of how the analytic eye concept works for me, is get yourself to actually express verbally what it is you like about your favorite stories, and not having a formalized kind of like checkbox system, like a multiple choice or a fill in the blank system of questionnaire, but just, if you could sit down, and maybe this would be something where if you don't have anybody to discuss this with at home or nearby. Perhaps you can just turn on the mic on your laptop or on your computer and just pretend like you're trying to convince somebody to read this book that you love. And just not even thinking about whether it's the art or the writing. Don't think about any of that. All you have to do is just say, what is it you like about the book? And in getting the, in getting yourself to do this and then going back and listening to it, then write down words that jump out at you as being interesting that you used. And now you've formulated a list of, these are things that I respond to as a reader. Therefore, these are probably things that I can start to focus on in creating my own work in the future, right? So it's sort of like a way to create a prioritized list of what you, where you want to be as a storyteller. And in, at the very least, it's a way to get you a little bit more conscious of what you're trying, what you probably want to achieve as a storyteller. So this is a strategy basically for people who are first starting out or who are, or are having trouble articulating what they want their stories to be. If you've ever caught yourself saying, well, my character's a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but I really don't know for sure, maybe you need to go through and do this with a few books that you really like. Now, does it have to be a certain genre of books? Does it have to be a certain type of book or movie? No. I mean, I could easily do this with a horror film, with a 80s cartoon, with a graphic novel, with an actual novel. And I'll bet you that there are some unifying themes between all those different things as to why I like them. Talked about this in the past. I'm not a huge horror fan. I don't go to watch gory films like Saw or anything like that and go, oh boy, I can't wait to watch people be mutilated on here. I can't wait to experience the horror of being trapped in a room with this scary puppet-headed guy. That's not where I go for my, that's not a thrill that I enjoy. However, I do like some horror films. I like the horror films like, say, John Carpenter's The Prince of Darkness or the Amityville Horror or the Omen series. Why? Well, because it's more of like this kind of the epic battle, right? It's the Satan versus God kind of thing as played on the arena of mortals. That's interesting. You know, even though it's kind of scary and it can get kind of gruesome and horrific at times, the plot itself is actually pretty quite interesting because it's the battle of the gods, so to speak, going back to something that I respond to in children's entertainment, something I respond to in my favorite novels. So it doesn't matter what you're picking from. All I would say is if you want to try this out for yourself, I would recommend that you just grab anything that you go to for satisfaction, anything that you go to for that delights you as a viewer, reader, enjoyer of that entertainment. Now, here's the next level, is I wonder if it would be interesting to record some of these on our own and post them in the Art and Story Forum, maybe start a thread. Let me know if you guys would be interested in this. Just post a comment if you say, yes, I'd be interested in this. And then I'll go ahead and start a thread where people can post their MP3 file and then the other storyers can grab the words that they notice that are getting used in that review. Now, why would I ask you to record something instead of typing it? Because I think typing it and writing it out demands a kind of thoughtfulness in your word choice that talking out loud doesn't afford you. When you're just speaking to somebody, there's that whole panic of just getting the ideas across. And so you wind up throwing out 6-7 different words sometimes to mean the same thing. And any one of those words might be the right word. Whereas if you were writing it out deliberately on in text, I suspect that most people would be a little bit more thoughtful about those word choices. And it might affect, you might not have that serendipity of finding that interesting word. That, why did you choose that word, you know? So... although, you know, I know there's going to be people who can, I know Kim Holm, cartoonarchy.com, he can belt out text faster than he can talk, which just blows my mind as a guy who can talk much faster than he can type. Anyway, so there's something to think about today. So if you are interested in following up on this as part of another kind of forum-only challenge, I'd be glad to discuss it with you. Actually, this would be something that I think would be interesting, too, to also take to the Art and Storyers Tumblr account. Is posting some things there because you can do audio posts there. If you guys would be interested in such a thing, just let me know. Again, post in the comments on this episode. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We couldn't do it without you. I just had the pleasure of doing another office hour recently with one of you guys, and I have to say that that is one of the nicer aspects of doing the Art and Story Supreme service, is actually getting to know you guys personally a little bit. It's also just a lot of fun to talk story with you guys. So thank you for that, too, for making that possible. More updates to come on some other things I'm working on aside from comics. I like I said, I hinted at the top of this episode, I'm going to be doing something with my teaching observations. So for those of you who are interested in pursuing more teaching work as a teaching artist, I'm going to be compartmentalizing that stuff on my Comics Are Great site a little bit to kind of keep it out of the Art and Story stream, just because I want to get back to actually talking about making stories and less about my role as a teacher. Keep those in their own boxes for now. And then also, I just updated a bunch of stuff on the Comics Are Great site in terms of episodes of the Comics Are Great show, and also a ton of videos on YouTube, youtube.com/comicsaregreat. Hour-long episodes, video podcasts with me and a bunch of other people that you can check out if you're not getting enough already from the Art and Story Supreme feed. So, yeah, I guess I'll be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed today's adventure. You know, television is not the only way to be entertained by an exciting story. There is another way. It's called reading. And one of the wonderful things about books is that they allow you to choose whatever kind of adventure you like. A trip with an astronaut, an adventure with the great detective Sherlock Holmes, a comedy, anything. You can find it in a book at your school or neighborhood library. Why, I'll bet there are even some good books right in your own home, just waiting to be read.